Go ahead.
House Bill 1243 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1243 having had its second reading for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Jaspers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House. Well, after the vote on that last bill, I can probably shorten up my debate quite a bit because for many of the arguments, both for, if you think there's not enough funding going to certain schools, if you think that students should be counted and paid for, both arguments for and against the last bill, they're both arguments for House Bill 1243. Currently, I think we all understand that our state aid formula is figured on a per ADM basis, but it uses last year's ADM, and thus the debate that we just had on inclining enrollments, declining enrollments, stagnant enrollments. On a declining enrollment school, you get paid on last year's ADM. So if you're declining, obviously you get paid for more students than are actually in your classroom. Turn that around to an inclining enrollment school. What do you think happens? You get paid for less students than you actually have in your classroom. If you are constantly increasing, you never do get caught up and you never do get paid for the students that you actually have in your classroom. We make the point on a declining enrollment school that you have to make certain decisions in the spring of the year. And you don't know what your fall enrollment is for the next year. You don't know what your next year's enrollment is going to be, yet you have to make hiring decisions. You have to order textbooks, et cetera, et cetera. Thus, the argument for paying those schools for the last year's ADM. Turn that into an increasing enrollment school. You don't know in the spring until you get there in the fall how many additional students you have. Yet if you're in charge of one of those schools, you need to have teachers in that classroom, you need to have desks in that classroom, you need to have books in the classroom to take care of those students that are actually there. We're no longer talking about phantom students or whatever you may call them. Those schools that have an increasing enrollment, like I said, they never do get caught up and they never get paid. When we set up the formula that we're working under now in 95, we said to each school, we will pay you a base amount for every student you have. Well, I bring House Bill 1243 before you today to tell you that we do not do what we said we would do. You know, our current formula also does other things. We have a small school factor in it, in which we create additional students, and we have justifications for that. I'm not here to argue that matter right now, but I'm here to tell you that we create over 3,800 students currently. We create 3,800 students in our funding. What our formula also does right now is we also eliminate students. And those aren't students that we create on a mathematical basis. Those are actual living and breathing students that we have in our classroom, yet we eliminate them from the funding formula. The money to fund those students is never sent. All House Bill 1243 does is says, let's pay schools for the students they are actually educating, that are actually in their classroom. It does not affect a school with a stagnant ADM. It does not affect a school with a declining enrollment ADM. It only affects those that are continually increasing. Currently, we have 49 schools in our state that have an increasing enrollment. Does this bill affect every one of them? No. But I contend that it shouldn't. We do have spikes. Take a potential consolidation of two schools. Would there be a one-year spike? Yes. But they'd have to be in a situation where they'd be continually increasing to have this bill affect them. This bill would ratchet that down very tight to ensure that if we funded, made this change, that those students actually will be there in the classroom. It only pays on the basis of those schools that prove that they have a long-term increased enrollment on a continual direct on the graph. The fiscal note that you have on this bill shows roughly $1.5 million. But I would like to point out to you that some of these schools, in fact, I don't know the numbers on all of them, but I know the major ones that would that this would affect in the largest amount of funding don't receive a majority of state aid. There's one school, in fact, that I believe gets very little, if any, state aid. It's all local effort. Another of the largest schools gets over 70% local effort. So my argument would be that the actual hit to the bottom line of the general fund is much less than this fiscal note points out. Like I said, this bill is very restrictive. It only addresses a district that consistently and convincingly increases their enrollment. If we say that every student in South Dakota's public education system is guaranteed a base level of funding, then we need to do what we say we're going to do and provide at least that minimum funding. We can talk about other issues like we did on the last bill that in essence overfunds that base amount. But folks, let's at least give that minimum amount that we have said, that we have pledged, that our predecessors have pledged, that we actually would. Because right now we are not funding every living and breathing student that needs a classroom, that needs a desk, that needs a book, that needs a teacher in schools across South Dakota. Let's stop eliminating their funding. A few days ago when the bill was first on the House calendar, I passed out on everyone's desk kind of a two-page summary on this bill, and I didn't pass that out again because I think you all know the issue well enough. The one thing I wanted to point out on that second page, I said, well, what if this had been in the formula during this current year? Because that I know, in fact, what it would be. Thank you, Representative Dunnifin. So I went back and looked, and there would have been seven different schools that would have been affected this past year. And I put on there what their general fund balances were on this snapshot, and we can argue the validity of that. But here again, it is a snapshot we refer to. The other thing I put down there was the total ADM that they have. And the reason I did this is because we make statewide generality type statements a lot of times. And we need to do that because we make general policy statewide. We say, and I won't dispute the facts, that on a statewide basis, our enrollment is declining, and that snapshot reserve level that we're looking at is inclining. That, I would contend, is fact. However, the schools that are in a situation that House Bill 1243 addresses are not the norm. These schools, as I pointed out, have low reserve balance levels. Another thing, and obviously they're increasing in enrollment. Another thing that that might be thought of on this bill is that it's only a bill that affects one area of the state or a certain school district or a certain size of school districts. That also, I would contend, is not fact. Had this bill been in effect a year ago, it would have affected schools with enrollments as low as 218 ADM all the way up to over 18,000. And those schools are all the way across the state. I also said the fiscal note was prepared on not this current year's ADM because we don't know that yet. We haven't been through the year. It used the projected enrollment number, or the enrollment number, which is used to help project the ADM. And we won't know that final number till this spring. What I did is I said, what schools are currently on track to be affected by this bill? And those I also put down on a sheet that I handed out and that I talked to the committee about. And those schools, again, all the way across the length and breadth of South Dakota. Some were surprises to me, as they probably were to you. I don't like to point out parochial-type things, but sometimes I think it needs to be pointed out to get people to realize that this is an issue that is out there in certain schools across the state. Over the last couple years, as we look at schools, we look at them and we have to make general broad policy statements. And we talk about that, and in the same time we say, you know, but there are certain schools out there that are really hurting. That's what House Bill 1243 looks at, is those schools that aren't the norm, those schools that need the money, those schools that have more students than they're getting paid for. With that, I think we all know the issue very well. I would thank you for your patience in letting me explain House Bill 1243, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243.
Mr. Speaker.
I'm sorry, Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker and members of the body, I would like to reiterate what Representative Jaspers has said and also say we are only asking for the same kind of treatment as the schools with declining enrollment. I also want to bring to your memory that the reason our enrollment is increasing is because this is where the growth in the state is. And so if the growth in the state is there, also the growth in the property tax, which is paying for education, is coming from there. And we only ask you, when you look and press your button, to think the same way you did for the person on the bottom, to think of the same way you did and press yes for the large schools that are gaining in enrollment and need your help also. Thank you very much.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243. Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I reiterate all the comments by both Representative Jaspers and Representative Davis. Probably after the passage of especially the last bill, this bill is especially needed. Because again, just to go back for just a second and kind of reflecting on what Representative Marshall had mentioned, if you have a school district with 1,000 kids, the next year it increases by 200 to 1,200, the next year it increases by 200 to 1,400, the next year it increases by 200 to 1,600. If you take the average of the 12, 14, and 16, you're now talking about 1,400 kids. Last year it was 1,600. So, I mean, now it's almost a double jeopardy for the schools that are growing. And again, what Representative Jaspers was really just attempting to do was to look at those schools and say, we're supposed to educate every child with 36.66 a child. And those schools that are growing never really get that for that particular year. You're always dealing with last year's smaller enrollment. We're really not changing the formula. We're not creating any new students. We're simply saying if the formula is supposed to recognize 36.66 per child, let's make sure that we are in the increasing ones as well. Thank you.
Further remarks on 1243. Representative Dunewald.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I just simply have to disagree. I want you to pay careful note to the fiscal note and notice how many schools we're affecting here. We're affecting 5 schools. This is almost what you call a special bill. You know, we tinker with the formula. We say this bunch needs something, this one here needs it. And, you know, that's a problem we get into, I guess, when we try to do it all from the state level. We simply get it. Without a comprehensive approach, we're going to end up making it worse, and we're going to end up back fighting like crazy on everything. We're going to hit the state funds for almost $1.6 million for 5 schools. I think that's the wrong thing to do. Why don't we just simply go back and look at the formula? You know, there's 49 schools, as was testified, that are spiking back and forth. Those are the ones that really have a tough time planning. If I'm going up generally, I can look, I know that's happening, I can plan, and I understand, and I can make it work. But I want to bounce it back and forth. Let's look at those other 49. They obviously need it, as I think, more than these 5. We need to be fair across the board, and I just don't think we're doing it here, and I would ask your support in defeating this bill. We've already tapped into the funds of to $5 million. Let's not add another 1.6 to it.
Mr.
I appreciate
Speaker,
it all.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243, Representative Richard Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of House Bill 1243. The fact of the matter is, in 1995, when we developed this formula, it is the best formula, as Representative Peterson mentioned, and tries to be fair and equitable. But what we're finding over a 6-year period of time, we need to tweak it on occasion, and the 5 or 6 schools we're talking about here represent almost 30,000 students. So it's not a special bill uniquely charged just to take care of these 5 or 6 at the moment. These all have increasing enrollments. And just as we did try to find fairness and equity in the previous bill, which I supported, I asked the members of the body to support this concept as well, because we have every year increasing enrollment without funds to appropriately take care of that increase. So I would urge the members of the body to support this and recognize that as we continue to go down this path this year in this legislature,
this body, the House of Representatives, if we need to find where the priority money needs to come from, that's why we have an Appropriations Committee. We can urge them to go back and find the resources to do this. This is a high priority. This is another piece of the pie, and I urge members of the body to support House Bill 1243.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243.
Mr. Speaker.
Does anybody wish to speak before Representative Davis speaks again? Hearing none, Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker, and members of the body, I would just like to echo Representative Brown in that we may be small in numbers of school, but we're large in numbers of children we educate. And we ask and need your support as I supported the previous bill. Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243, Representative Napoli.
Well, Mr. Speaker, members of the body, you know, it was kind of tough to see that bill just pass 1189 because now we're going to start paying for students that don't exist. But now this bill, I would ask you to defeat this bill simply because of that one word that was said by Representative Brown, priorities. Where in the world does priorities enter into a formula where every child is supposed to get the same amount of money and every school is supposed to be treated the same? Now we're going to treat those five schools just a little bit differently than we're going to treat the rest of them. It's not right what we're doing here today. This is not what was intended when we started in 1995, which was to give every child an adequate education and every school district would be treated the same. And now we're saying simply because we have more students, they need a priority. A priority more than a small school? I don't think so. Please vote against House Bill 1243.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243. Does anybody wish to speak before Representative Jasper speaks second time? Representative Acarius.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I hope two wrongs don't make a right, because I think that's where we're going with this bill. A lot of us felt strongly about the last bill because of the same reasons that have been already stated, and that is that we're paying for kids that do not exist. And now we're paying for kids that don't exist just because you're in a growth area, and let's just draw a radius around these four out of the five schools, and it's 30 miles. How many of you believe that if we brought a bill just for these five schools that it would pass without the phantom student ADM adjustment? A lot of you are going to vote for this because you think that, well, the last one passed, so we got to vote for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, this would never pass on its own merit, and you know that, if the last bill had not. But it may, because people are going to try to make a right with two wrongs. And that's what this bill, if it passes, is going to represent. It is a special bill. It is based on growth. It is a carve-out. And it's getting away from what Representative Napoli said, and that we are going to get away from paying school districts based on every kid being the same. We've already got some inequities, and we know that. Some districts get fines, some get bank franchise, some get mobile homes, some maybe even get a cement plant. But every time we pass one of these bills, we make it less equitable for every other student in this state, and we all know that. So what we have before us is a $1.5 million bill to give five school districts, four of which are in a 30-mile radius, a bonus. And every time you do that, the formula gets a little bit more out of adjustment and a little less fair, and some other kid gets less money at the expense of another one. So if you're going to pass this bill, do it because you passed the last one, not because it's the right thing to do.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243. Anybody wish to speak before Representative Jasper speaks again? Hearing none, Representative Jaspers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Well, I think we need to probably vote on this issue. We have several more at hand yet today. But one thing I wanted to point out in rebuttal is this isn't just a large school. They are increasing enrollment schools. If this bill had been in effect last year, let me read the seven schools and their ADM enrollments a year ago that would have been affected. Brandon Valley, 2,496. Dakota Valley, 760. Harrisburg, 778. Mount Vernon, 275 ADM. Sioux Falls, 18,753. Del Rapids, 826. Florence, 218 ADM. They aren't all in the same area, and they aren't all large schools. The other thing to remember is our formula funding, our funding formula is based on last year's ADM. My contention in bringing this bill always has been that the students that are in this classroom this year are not the ones that we're paying for. The last bill we had looked at keeping schools that are in the situation of declining enrollments floating a little bit longer before they have to, the cushion factor or something that was mentioned during that debate. My question is to you, do we want to go back down that road of funding institutions and buildings and paying salaries and buying buses? Or is our primary focus, is our real goal, to educate students? Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1243. Hearing no further remarks, as is my obligation, although there's been plenty of discussion regarding the fiscal note, you are advised that, according to the fiscal note, only 5 school districts meet the criterion of having an enrollment increase of at least 0.75% for each of the last 3 years. Those districts and the estimated amounts of increase in state aid to education, each of those districts would realize as follows. The aggregate is $1,557,729. With that reading and no further remarks, the question before the House of Representatives is final passage of House Bill 1243. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members will proceed to vote on final passage of House Bill 1243. In the gallery today, on behalf of Representatives Solem and Knold, we'd like to welcome the Superintendent of Schools of Watertown, Rick Melmer, Watertown School Board Chair, Hugh Bartles, and other teachers and board members, including John Iverson and Becky Iverson. Would the representatives of the Arrows please stand?
Representative Jarvis Brown and Valandra. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 39, nays 31.
House Bill 1243, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. Representative Peterson.
I give notice of my intent to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 1243 was passed.
Your intent is noted, sir.